Thanks for listening to Stokely and Zach On Demand. Before Zach tells us who is moonwalking in the Hall of Fame today, have you subscribed to our podcast? Subscribe everywhere you get your podcast or at 1043thefan.com.
Fill in the blank offensive edition. Friday staple during the NFL season. And just a heads up. Vic Fangio is speaking to the media right now. Maybe we'll have some of that sound a little bit later in the show. But just a couple things to pass along before we fill in the blank. Apparently, Philip Lindsay is trending in the right direction.
How about that?
Back doing some work and potentially back on Thursday Night Football against the Jets.
So definitely out this week, though.
Vic said he was doubtful. Say he did some work. I'd say he's doubtful. So
yeah.
It doesn't sound like he's going to play. But, hey, trending in the right direction, maybe against the Jets on Thursday night.
Good news.
So, yep. Brett Rypien will be the backup on Sunday, despite Blake Bortles being out there yesterday in practice. It will be Brett Rypien. So let's hope this offensive line can keep Jeff Driskel upright. And that's where we'll start here with our offensive fill in the blank. Jeff Driskel blank follow up his rather impressive fill-in performance against Pittsburgh.
He will.
Whoa.
Not follow up his rather fill-in performance for
Pittsburgh. And you put the cadence in it, too, which was unfair. That was,
you like that?
That was deceitful, in fact.
I was hoping to catch you. I don't think he does. Look, I mean, I thought he played over his head. And I think the real Jeff Driskel will stand up this game. And the Bucs have a really good defense. They got a really good front. So I think the challenge is there, and I think the true Jeff Driskel will show himself on Sunday.
Okay. Come back down to earth a little bit.
Yes.
All right. Melvin Gordon will be blank versus the Bucs defense.
He will be used a lot.
Okay.
I think you get a heavy dose of Melvin Gordon. You know, we know Pat Shurmur likes to use one running back. No Philip Lindsay probably. So I think the bulk of the carries here and the bulk of the opportunities go all to Melvin Gordon. Why not? This is why you're paying him $9 million.
Right.
Use him.
Right.
They need to establish that run game, though. And I saw some semblance of it last week. Saw a couple nice runs from Melvin Gordon. So you're going to have to stick with the run and get that running game going to take some of that pressure off of Jeff Driskel.
Royce Freeman will end up with blank touches.
Three. Maybe less than that, but I'll give him three.
Okay. The offensive line will give up blank sacks to the Buccaneers defense.
Well, I don't know how, you know, this offense is going to look with Driskel. That's the hard part here. But I think he's going to have to make some plays in the passing game. I got five.
Oof.
Oof, yeah.
That's improvement week over week.
That's right. What was it, seven?
It was six.
Six?
Yeah, six.
I got five. Hopefully we don't see as many hits. This team can get after you.
Well, and pardon me, I said six. That was six on Driskel. Drew Locke had the one. So seven total as a group.
Okay, yeah. So five this week. That's what I got.
Now, I have this next one about Jerry Jeudy. The question goes like this. Jerry Jeudy will look blank in his first game as the number one wide receiver, but Steven just jumped in my ear, and apparently Jerry Judy's questionable for the game on Sunday.
The ribs.
The ribs. I think Andrew Mason has something on it. So he's questionable.
Okay, I'm expecting him to play.
And apparently he's been limited both Wednesday and Thursday.
Okay, so you got to put him down as questionable.
Okay.
That's fine.
You're expecting him to play?
I'm expecting him to play.
Okay. So let's go with this. Jerry Jeudy will look blank in his first game as the number one wide receiver.
I think he'll look good. I mean, I'm not expecting 120 yards out of him, but I think he'll look good. Hopefully what we saw the first two games minus the dropsies.
Yeah. With that in mind, Jeudy blank drop a pass on Sunday.
Will not.
Will not.
No drops for Jeudy.
All right.
No drops. I think he goes out there and has a really solid game, and I just want him to look more comfortable. And hopefully the ball doesn't hit the turf when it comes his way.
All right. Noah Fant blank get in the end zone for a third week in a row.
I mean, you do it once, okay. You do it twice. Oh, you got my attention. I mean, why not? I think he will. Two times in a row.
Love it.
He's been their best offensive weapon. First game, the first half. Second game, the second half. I just think that, you know, if you're Pat Shurmur, you got to kind of try to go out of your way here to get him involved more in the passing game. And if you're Jeff Driskel, you're looking at it like, okay, if where am I going to go with the football here when I don't know what's going on? I'm just going to try to force the ball to Noah Fant this game. I mean, that's not a bad idea.
No.
And then on top of it, I mean, tight ends usually work where? Kind of middle of the football field,
usually,
short,
yeah.
Intermediate. I mean, those are the easiest throws to begin with. So I think the trend continues. I think he goes for the hat trick, three in a row for Noah Fant.
Man, that'd be awesome.
It would be.
That'd be awesome. Really, it's Fant and Melvin Gordon are the only offensive players to have touchdowns so far this year.
Wow.
Just Melvin and Noah. That's it. Has Noah Fant been the Broncos' best offensive player thus far?
Yes. I don't think it's debatable.
I agree with you.
I'm trying to think of who else could be a candidate.
I think the only candidate, really, would be Melvin.
Yeah, and he's had some minus plays there.
He has.
You know, the fumble.
Yeah,
so
that was a big one.
I haven't really seen.
And it's only one touchdown.
Yeah.
In two games. Now he's averaging 74 yards a game, which is a nice number.
No, it's a nice
number. He's averaging almost 4.5 yards a carry. That's a nice number,
okay.
Too. Just can't put it on the ground.
But he's definitely in the conversation.
Yeah, he'd be the only next candidate, but Noah's been great. And the thing is, like, you mentioned it, it's just been two halves. Like, the first half, game one, the second half, game two. What does it look like when he puts a whole game together? Or the offense puts a whole game together with him in mind?
Yeah. And it's just part of the learning process here as an offense with Pat Shurmur, all of that. You know, all these things that they missed out on, they're trying to play catch up.
Yeah.
And that affects, you know, who's getting the ball and how much they're getting the football and the calls coming from Pat Shurmur. So hopefully it gets better and better. They can be a little bit more consistent with the guys that need the football in their hands more.
All right, we'll see. We'll see.
Do you think he gets in the end zone?
I do. I think Noah Fant is that good. I think he's, however you would want to project him in your mind, I would probably co-sign it. I just think he's going to be one of the better tight ends in this league. And by the end of the year, maybe mentioned in the top six or seven that this league has to offer. Because you got guys like, when you say who's the best tight ends in the league, my mind goes to Travis Kelce, George Kittle, Darren Waller, Zach Ertz, and then who? I mean, then you got to, you know, who are we talking about there? So I think there's an opportunity for Noah Fant to, you know, really put himself in that conversation. I think he's off to a great start in terms of a rookie year and in terms of the first two games of the season.
He's got the potential, certainly. I mean, big, strong, fast. He's a type of weapon that, you know, can be a difference maker game in and game out. You just got to do it a little bit more consistent. But this year, you know, I'm not putting that on him. They got to target him more.
Sure.
And they got to try to get him involved more. So you look at what he brings to the table, and you saw it last week. I mean, you really did in the second half with Devin
White
trying to cover him. No, that's...
Or Devin Bush.
Man, you had me confused.
Well, they're both Devins. They're both part of the same draft class. They both play the same position, and Broncos country wanted them both.
Yes. So. Devin Bush, you know, him trying to keep up with Noah Fant. When Noah Fant gets rolling, that guy can move.
Yeah.
So hopefully we'll see more of that. I mean, he's a mismatch nightmare for defensive coordinator. We have one of those guys.
Right.
We have him. That's Noah Fant. And if you saw him running last week, you realize that there's not going to be linebackers that can run with this guy down the football field.
And you want to know what else is encouraging here early? And we got to see more. We're only two games in. But it's the target to catch rate. He's been targeted 11 times. He got 9 catches.
Wow.
Last year wasn't quite that way.
Right.
It was more disparity. He was targeted 66 times and pulled in 40. So much better in that regard as well. And by the way, this year he's averaging more yards per carry year over year. Noah Fant's averaging over 15 yards a catch. And last year, in its entirety, Noah Fant had 3 touchdowns in the whole season. He's got 2 of them going into week 3. Great start.
Great start.
All right, time for fill in the blank defensive edition. We'll take a look at the other side of the Broncos ball next. We're filling in the blank before kickoff on Sunday afternoon. If the Broncos can pull off an upset and reshape the narrative that has been forming around them here in the last 3 weeks, some in their control, most out of their control. But we fill in the blank on the defensive side of the ball. Stoke, Tom Brady's biggest concern on Sunday will be?
The Broncos' safeties. You know, when you look at Kareem Jackson and Justin Simmons, I mean, those guys, you know, we talked about Antoine Winfield Jr. earlier, the rookie safety out of for Tampa Bay, just how he's a ball hawk and he's a playmaker. Well, these two guys for the Broncos are, and you have to know where they are on the football field at all times. So I think his biggest concern is, where are these two safeties lining up? What are they doing against me? What are they trying to take away?
Blank needs to have a big game for the Broncos to upset Tampa.
Bradley Chubb.
Ooh.
I think Bradley Chubb has got to get after Tom Brady and hit him and make him feel that pressure if the Broncos want to have success. Make him uncomfortable. No quarterbacks like to be hit, especially, you know, a 55-year-old Tom Brady. He's not going to like to be hit. You got to get to him. You got to hit him. We saw what happened in the AFC Championship game. When you get to him, you hit him, you can rattle him. But the Broncos, I mean, it's easier said than done. Tom knows when to get rid of the football. He feels pressure. He moves really, really good in the pocket. So Bradley Chubb will need to have a big one, though.
Love it. And not sure if you planned it this way, but my next note here was Bradley Chubb, blank, have his first sack of the 2020 season on Sunday.
I'm saying he will not.
He will not.
No. I just think Tom Brady is, he feels that pressure better than anybody in the game right now. And the way he moves in the pocket and slides in the pocket, it makes it really, really difficult to get to him. And he's okay dinking and dunking and wearing you down. So he's a tough guy to get to the ground.
You know, I was just thinking about that with the safeties, what you just said, dinking and dunking. Like, we've seen offenses kind of target Vic's defense this way. And if two of your best players defensively are the safeties, you know, does Tom even go down that road? You know, does he even try to challenge the back half of the secondary?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. I think when you look at this team, they'll probably challenge the cornerbacks more so than the tight ends, running backs out of the backfield. But certainly when you look at having a guy like Mike Evans and Chris Godwin lined up against Michael Ojemudia and Bryce Callahan or Bassey, then, I mean, that's who you would want to go after. And those guys are really good wide receivers and going up against young, inexperienced cornerbacks. So I think you would probably try to stay away more so the middle of the football field and dealing with tight ends and running backs and kind of focus more on getting the football to your wide receivers.
All right. Moving on here. The Broncos' leading tackler will be
Alexander Johnson. Mm. He's just a tackling machine. This guy just makes plays. So I would either say it's going to be him or one of the safeties, but I'm going to give the edge to him. He just, that's what he does. He just makes tackles.
All right. What did he put up? I'm going to have to pull this up here. Week one, he was maybe 11.
I think he was double digits. And then last week, was it about 8 or so? I don't have it pulled up.
I think it's right there. Well, he's leading the team here. Now I have it. He's leading the team. After just 2 games, there's a difference between he and the next leading tackler, Justin Simmons, 6 tackles in just 2 games. He's got 20 tackles in the first 2.
So he had 12 in the first game, and then he had 8
yep.
in the second.
Yep, yep. Really, really nice start in statistically for AJ. Or Alexander. Michael Ojemudia really struggled against Pittsburgh. This week, Hill.
I've seen him play 2 games, and I've been impressed with what he's done. Now, it's not perfect, and he gave up the long one at Claypool. Stuff like that's going to happen. This guy's a third-round pick that I wasn't expecting anything from for the first month of the season. Really wasn't. And so he's had an opportunity to have 2 picks in his first 2 games. He had one, got hosed on a bad call, not against him, against someone else. And then last week just dropped a freebie, dropped a layup right in his hands.
Right.
So it's not like this guy's played awful. Now, he struggled a little bit more last week than he did in week one. But I think he struggles again just because of who he's going up against. It's going to be tough. I mean, you got two dudes outside that can get it, Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, and you got Tom Brady orchestrating it. They're going to come after you.
Yeah.
So I think he struggles again.
Struggles again. Okay. They're going to be picking on him, you think?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think their base formation is going to be, their base offense will be three wides. You'll see Scotty Miller on the field in the slot, Godwin, and then Mike Evans, and you try to get the Broncos in their nickel defense to bring in another cornerback. Well, who's that other cornerback that they bring in? Bassey.
Yeah.
So that guy's a rookie, undrafted rookie.
What a tough spot.
So certainly you want to say, okay, pick your poison. I mean, who do you want to go after, Tom? You want to go after Bassey, or do you want to go after O.J. Moutier?
And you're not even really talking about Callahan. Callahan's been asked to do more than he's ever really profiled to do in the past.
Yep.
So it's across the board.
Yeah, Callahan's been a, you know, nickel guy, third down guy, three wide guy, the third, and now he's starter.
Here we go.
Buckle up.
Broncos land. The Broncos defense will this is a big one, because if the Broncos have any shot, there's going to have to be some of these. The Broncos defense will force blank turnovers.
One. I give them one. Tom's turned the football over a couple times here.
It was two picks week one against the Saints, right?
It was two. Two week one, one last week. They had a fumble last week, put it on the turf. So I don't really expect Tom Brady to keep throwing interceptions here. I'm not really expecting that. But if you can get some pressure on him, make him make a quick decision, you might be able to get one or two of them. I'm going one turnover for the Broncos defense.
I just don't know if that's going to be enough.
No, it won't be.
The Broncos defense will sack Tom Brady blank times.
One. One sack on Tom. Hard to get to once again. I mean, he hasn't played for 55 years because he gets sacked a lot and hit a lot.
Right.
He's got good pocket presence. He knows where the blitzing's coming from. It's hard to trick him, hard to fool him. He feels when guys are about to get to him, and he just throws the ball away. So it's tough. It's tough to get him on the ground.
All right. That'll do it for fill in the blank defensive side of the ball. Look, this is, you know, I keep saying it, but the odds are stacked against the Broncos. Like, there's going to be, there has to be a couple guys that, again, when I say play over their head, it kind of sounds backhanded, but there's going to be a couple guys that have to play over their head, have to be the very A-plus best versions of themselves. And I'm talking about Jarrell Casey. I'm talking about Bradley Chubb. You can't be negative in the turnover margin. You're probably not going to win if that's the case. So Justin Simmons, Kareem Jackson. And how can Vic, you know, dial this thing up here?
Yeah. No, look, you're spot on. I mean, that's when you're the underdog, you're going to have to do some things to make up for. I mean, you're 0-2. They're 1-1. They got Tom Brady. They got some weapons. Some of your guys are going to have to play a little bit over their head. It's just the way it's got to be. And, you know, you said that last week, and there were some guys that actually did. You know, Jeff Driscoll did.
He did.
Stepped in and did that, but there wasn't enough of it. Justin Simmons had a nice pick. You're going to have to make plays like that. That nice pick by Justin Simmons.
Yeah.
Need those types of plays in order to beat a team like Tampa Bay. And you can't have those types of plays. You can't have those turnovers offensively. So that's just what's going to have to happen.
This is Vic Fangio from earlier in the week. What do you see from Brady now compared to earlier in his career?
I see a lot of the same guy. You know, I've only coached against him twice in the last 10 or 11 years, but obviously seen him a lot on video and on TV. And he doesn't look any different to me, to be honest with you. He's still got really good arm strength. Obviously very, very strong. I mean, strong in football intelligence and recognizing things. I really don't see a major difference other than the new uniform that he's wearing.
Do you agree with that? That he's largely the same guy?
I don't know about that. I think a lot of factors have contributed to him not being the same guy. Now, he can still get it done. There's no doubt about that. But I don't think he's the same guy that he once was. Arm strength. But he's still very accurate with the football. But once again, he's in a new offense with a lot of new pieces. And so you're going to see some rust and some moments there where he throws a football where he thinks somebody's supposed to be and they go somewhere else and it's an interception. So you're going to see that. But it doesn't mean that his play is deteriorating. It means that they're just trying to get up to speed here because of the lack of an offseason. But I don't think he's quite the same what he once was. And that's kind of weird. Vic's only faced him twice, he said, in the last 10 years or so.
That's crazy. That's great. Well, I mean,
Vic's been in the NFC. Tom's been in the AFC.
True. That's
but
true.
Still.
All right. I know one thing for sure. All right. I don't know a lot. But I know one thing for sure.
Thank you for well, you didn't need to tell us.
I'm a very simple man. I know just a couple things. I know that Tyler Herro is that dude.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that the Broncos need to clean up one phase of their game in a hurry or they don't have a shot against the Bucs on Sunday. I'll tell you what it is next. I don't know much. I'm not a very smart man. But I know that if the Broncos don't clean up one phase of their game in a hurry, and I mean immediately, right now.
Can I guess?
Yes.
My guess would be, what do they need to clean up right now? There's a lot of things they need to clean
yes,
up, right?
Yes, there is.
So there's a lot of options here. I'll give the edge to clean up the offensive line play and slow down the pass rushers from the other team. And we saw our quarterback get hit, what, like 19 times?
19 quarterback hits left.
Eight sacks. Got to, I would say, clean that up, and you're facing a good front against Tampa Bay. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
It is. Okay.
But that's not what I was thinking of.
Oh! I thought I got it right.
But simultaneously.
Okay. I know it's correct, but that's not what you had down.
Right.
What'd you have down?
Special teams.
Oh.
That was one of the worst special teams performances
going back
to Brock Olivo against the Patriots.
Don't say ever.
No, I know.
That year was a you could have gone to any game that year, and it was worse than what we saw against Pittsburgh.
This was pretty bad last week. You had K.J. Hamler taking a kickoff out of the end zone.
What? Why do we care about
your drive starts.
So do we not ever want to take one out of the end zone? What do y'all want the rule? The people that always want to complain after the fact that say, oh my gosh, but then when he takes one to the house, what are you going to say?
Bravo, I'm so glad that you did that.
Great move. I told you should have kept taking them out of the end zone. And look,
it is a results-oriented business. So when you do take it out of the end zone, you get dropped.
But you have to take a chance. You have to take risk to have a reward.
Okay.
You can't just play Mr. Conservative. You brought these guys here. Deontay Spencer's here to return, right? You know what? K.J. Hamler's here because he's electric, he's fast, and he can return also. So when those guys have an opportunity, now you don't want to just be reckless with it,
right,
9 yards deep. But look, if it's there, I think you want to give these guys opportunities. Now, if it happens over and over and over again, then the special teams coach needs to say, take a stinking knee. You're killing us here. But other than that, I think, especially with this football team, we've got to take chances in the return game. We can't stay status quo and say, you know what, let's just take the ball to 25. Our offense is so good, we'll be fine.
Right.
Right? In the punt game, too. Like, our special teams needs to be a difference maker. We can't be conservative in the return game.
Well, the difference that they're making is a horrendous one that helps out the opposition on a regular basis. You had Sam Martin dropping a snap, taking a safety.
Right.
That just cannot happen. It cannot happen. Brandon McManus.
Right in his hands.
Yeah. McManus, I know it was a long field goal, but he had a missed field goal there.
Was that like a 58?
Yeah, 58. Those are the ones he asked for, though. Those are the ones he wants. You had a punt brought back to the house that was called back. No worries.
Lucky.
They scored on the next play. But, you know, you just can't have it.
Nope.
Against a team like Pittsburgh, against a team like Tampa Bay, it was a really bad week for special teams.
You're right.
On the coverage team, you know, I feel like they averaged 28 yards a return a week ago. Is Tom McMahon on the hot seat?
Never.
Never.
Never. Don't you ever say those words again.
I love
Tommy
Mac.
He is never on the hot seat.
I love Tommy Mac.
No, I don't think he's on the hot seat. Look, I'm trying to think about week one. They special teams was awesome.
It was great.
We said how great they were week one. Sam Martin was great. The coverage units were great. I look at it. Look, I mean, it's they had a bad performance. They did. But we're going to see some of those throughout the course of the year. Special teams also needs practice. They need preseason games just as bad as the offense and the defense does.
Yeah, maybe more.
And you have young football players that make up the majority of special teams. Rookies, first-year guys. And you're going to see struggles there with those guys throughout the course of the year. Hopefully we'll see more of what we saw week one than we did week two. But certainly, special teams for the Broncos needs to be a difference maker for them to win football games. It can't hurt them. If it hurts them, the Broncos, most of these games, they won't have a chance to win them.
Right.
It can't do what they did last week. Got to be more like what we saw in week one. And I'm fine with the return units being aggressive until they show me, you know, after a while that it's really costing the team. Because I think this football team needs that type of boost from somewhere else. Because the offense isn't going to be good enough. They're not going to score enough points.
Right.
Remember, somebody thought they were going to be over 24 this year average. I forgot who it was, but I'll remember it.
Some sort of joker.
Yeah. He's playing silly games.
Man, you know.
That stinks when the bet's already over, you know, 2 weeks in.
Yeah.
I have a couple of those, too, you know, when you do some futures and the guy gets hurt. And
you just chalk it up.
Just like there's no chance he can do this now because he just got hurt. I had it over passing touchdowns, got hurt. Oh.
That
hurts.
Or when you're counting your money on a Rockies over when they start 11-3 and can't manage to win 27.
You know they won yesterday.
Did they?
They came back and won.
They did not.
Yes, they did.
I swear to God. I swear.
Whoa.
I didn't even check the score.
I know. I checked last night. I don't know why I checked last night. I was, you know, doing my research that I do late night.
Yeah.
And I checked, and they won in 11. 5-4.
5-4.
How about that?
They're down, what, 3-0?
Yeah. They looked like they had no energy. That game was a wrap, and they came back and won the thing. So, I mean, two more would be nice for a lot of people. I some buddies of mine, you know.
So they're 25-31. The over-under was 27. And how many games do they have left here?
Four, I think. Four against the Diamondbacks.
Four against the Diamondbacks.
Right.
Oh, you're still in the hunt. Or your buddy's still in the hunt.
Yeah, no, my buddy had it for 26 and a hook.
Oh.
Big difference between 27 and that 26 and a hook.
A huge difference. I have a
just need two for him.
I have a natural and you got Sensatella on the mound tonight.
I'm pulling for him.
I know you are.
Good buddy.
That's an afternoon game here. 4:40 here. 4:40 start.
Perfect.
Early pitch. All right. I have a natural fact about the Broncos quarterback situation that just it pains me to say. It's gonna hurt coming out of my mouth, but it's gonna come out anyway. Next.
Tick, 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 tick. But it doesn't seem to bother Vic. Vic, Vic. A lot of folks are mad, yo, but Vic ain't hearing that.
He should be fired.
Yells James Merrillat. No time to panic. Looky here, a winnable game against the Buccaneers. Well, this team is stacked, but so far it ain't working. Tom looks old in the Gronk, he ain't twerking. Got Bruce Arians stuttering, stuttering, cause all of Brady's balls be fluttering, fluttering.
Oh,
so good.
That's great.
So
good. That's great. Our good buddy Nate Jackson laying down another track previewing week three Broncos Bucks. How you doing, man?
Love it, man. I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Great. We're doing great, man. Great job once again. I guess we'll hear the full version of that on the Friday fire up at just after 5:00. You are not going to want to miss that. Nate, I don't know, maybe next week, some point during the season, I'm like, you're like that hot artist that I'm like begging to jump on a track with, so you can give me some momentum.
Oh.
You can revitalize my career.
Well, Zach, I have heard you rap on the air, and you got some skills, man. I was talking to D-Mac about you, the drummer, you know? Maybe
yeah.
We could all get together, collaborate, and lay down some track that just goes multi-platinum, man.
Nate, don't do it. Stay solo. You sound great. You're on the rise, bro. Those two will bring you down, okay? Just keep doing what you're doing, all right? I'm just telling you. Don't try to add too many of these guys to the mix. They're going to bring your career down quickly.
Oh, man, I'm trying to jump on the coattails. Nate, first of all, great job once again. What is your vibe here going into you have been, you know, I've noticed this. You really are trying to stay on the positivity tip, if you will. You know, I'm curious your thoughts here. The Broncos have started 0-2. They're absolutely decimated by injuries, maybe the worst in the league, along with San Francisco. How do you try to stay positive going into a Week 3 matchup with the Bucs?
Well, dude, I think the Bucs are beatable. You know, I think the Broncos can get after Tom Brady a little bit, or at least contain him. And their offense actually looked pretty good to me in the second half against the Steelers, you know, was able to put some points together. Look, those first two opponents, we all kind of had them struggling versus those guys regardless. And then a lot of people had them finishing 8-8, 9-7. You know, if they could go on a run in the back half of the season. Well, considering all these injuries, which are catastrophic, like you guys said, they're still in position to win both of these games against playoff caliber teams, right? So, to me, I mean, they can right the ship. 0-2 is not too deep of a hole to crawl out of, but they do have to win this game. I feel like this is a must-win for them for their season. I think they can win it.
Nate, we're visiting with Nate Jackson. Nate, looking at Noah Fant, what have you seen from him? I mean, I think he's been the most impressive player offensively for the Broncos. What have you seen from him in the first two games of the season?
Yeah, man, like in the passing game, when he gets the ball in his hands, he looks faster, he looks more explosive. He looks like a guy you want to get the ball to. The problem for me, if I'm Pat Shurmur, is that he's very one-dimensional right now, so he can't, like, be your every-down tight end because he really can't run block that well, dude. So, like, Nick Vinette is getting all these looks down the goal line, opportunities to score, looks that Noah Fant should be getting and will be getting someday, but it's hard to really watch him flourish in the passing game when he's kind of an easy tell for the defense. Like, they know he's not running, they're not running to Noah's side. He's going to come out, he's going to be a specialty player. And it's hard for a guy like that to really get in the groove. That said, you got to find ways to do it, you know. You got to find ways to get in the ball because he is the most explosive guy on that offense.
Former Bronco Nate Jackson, back in Denver, Colorado, part of our team, joining us here live on Stokely and Zach. It's one thing to come in a game when you're not expected to play and play well, and then it's another thing when you're the planned starter. You have a week to think about it, and the opposing defense is focusing on what you do. And that's the scenario week over week that Jeff Driskel finds himself in. How optimistic are you that Driskel can play enough competent football, not turn the ball over, and give the Broncos a shot here?
Yeah, I think it comes down to the run game, really. If they can kind of get that run game going early, he has a really good chance of being able to pick these guys apart and lead some touchdown scoring drives and, you know, maybe put up over 20 points and with a good defensive performance win the game. But if they're coming at him, it's second and long, third and long, and they're just coming at him, I don't know. I mean, that was pretty rough against Pittsburgh. So I think the guy has the skills. He's, you know, he's tall, he's strong, he could throw the ball. We actually saw him put some good touch on some of the deep balls, I thought, that Drew Lock didn't. I actually think Driskel probably throws the deep ball a little better than Drew Lock at this moment, which is good because you want to take some shots and you want to give your guys some chances to catch those balls. Like KJ Hamler going up, trying to catch balls down the field. I say throw it downfield and let these guys try to go get it, but I see him making the throws. He's just got to, like you said, protect the ball, and that depends on how much pressure he sees, I think.
Nate, looking at this defense and the lack of getting to the quarterback, Bradley Chubb hasn't gotten there one time. Didn't have nothing on the stat sheet pretty much game one. No sacks, no tackles. Had three tackles last week. What do you make of his slow start? Obviously coming off of the ACL injury that had to miss summer training camp because of the little setback. What do you make of Bradley Chubb's slow start?
Probably just seems not 100%. Healthy, man. I mean, an ACL for a guy as big and as explosive as him, and then obviously he's trying to rush back to get on the field to do his job. I mean, every time any player gets hurt, it's like a clock ticking to get him back on the field, and every day they're letting you know, well, here's the timeline, here's when you're expected to be doing X, Y, and Z exercises. Well, you as a player, you follow that protocol, and you get your butt back on the field as soon as you can. Well, now he's thrust into this position of being, you know, opposite Von Miller. Von Miller gets hurt, and now all the attention's on Bradley Chubb, really, with a knee that's not 100%. No preseason, no offseason, no mini camp to kind of get those cuts down and get comfortable just doing football moves. So you throw him out there after he actually had to be pulled out of a walkthrough pretty much at the stadium. So yep. I don't think he's healthy. So I think the guy's working through it, and hopefully he doesn't have a major setback. Hopefully it's just kind of scar tissue and some swelling he can manage. But they're putting a lot of pressure on him right now to, like, where are you, man? And rightfully so. They need his help, but who knows if he's healthy.
Well, and Nate, this is a tricky one here because I don't think he's 100%. I've been on record clearly before the year started that I said he should not be playing early in the season. And I know that's the last thing some of our listeners want to hear, but if he got dinged up in a walkthrough, essentially, and didn't practice a week and a half leading up to the first game of the season, I'm not, like, shocked that he's off to this slow of a start. And unfortunately, and going back to me saying he shouldn't have played, I thought his importance is so big for this franchise. They picked him fifth overall. He has got to be a cornerstone of this foundation moving forward. And I think that they're playing with fire here a little bit because he's got just three tackles in two games. He hasn't got to the quarterback really at all. And the Broncos have a really, really big, important decision to make at the start of this new league year this spring, whether to pick up his fifth-year option. And, man, after his rookie year, not picking up Chubb's option would seem like the most absurd notion in the world. But now, like, the reality of that question being a real one is coming into focus, and I'm kind of shaking my head here, Nate.
Well, yeah, dude, like, a lot of times you take a chance on a guy, you draft him number five, he ends up being a stud for 10 years. More often than not, you draft a guy number five, he ends up not panning out, or at least not being what you thought, what you hoped he would be. So what do you do as a management? What do? Do you part ways with him, or do you try to drag him along and keep fitting him into this box of what you thought he could be for you? So ultimately, the Broncos have to decide, well, who are the best players on the field for us? Who cares where they're drafted? Who cares about how much money they're making right now? Who are the best players on the field for us who fit the scheme, who play well, who are the ones who are, you know, the example setters in the locker room who understand the culture we're trying to implement? And let's ride those guys, no matter where they're drafted. If Bradley Chubb doesn't stick around, you know, probably it'll be more physical than mental. It seems like everybody likes him. It's just like once you start getting hurt a lot
right
early in your career, it's hard to kind of right that ship.
Yeah, and this is the second ACL on the same knee. I think the questions are fair about it. All right, here, Nate, on the way out, give us a prediction for Sunday afternoon.
All right, guys. I got the Broncos winning this game 26-15.
Wow! Nate, I absolutely love it. And I'll give you the old Ric Flair line. If they can do it, pal, I will kiss your boots if they do it. I have my doubts, but I hope you're right. And if you're right, we'll have you back here on Monday. You can do a victory lap.
All right, cool. I'll write a song about it. How about that?
I love it. Have a great one, Nate.
All right, dudes. Later.
All right, there you go. It's Nate Jackson back in the fold here doing a great job. Right,
26-15.
26-15.
That sounds like one of your scores that you come up with. Just, you always have these weird scores. I'm like, well, how do they get into 26? You're like, don't worry about it. They'll get there.
And you dogged me last year for one of them, and it ended up being that number,
I don't remember.
Yeah.
No.
I do. People don't forget.
Miss any of Stokely and Zach? Make sure to subscribe to our on-demand podcast. You'll get every episode as soon as they're released. Just subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or at 104.3thefan.com.